We've come now to 1 Peter chapter 2, and our scripture for study in this lesson is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And the first thing that we need to do is to read this passage slowly and carefully and get these words imprinted in our minds as clearly as we possibly can. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Let's start with the word wherefore. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, wherefore laying aside all these things. Now, the word wherefore connects what he says in this passage to what he has just said in chapter 1. Especially in chapter 1, where he said in verse 18 that they had been redeemed, and where he said in verse 22 that their souls had been purified, and that they had been born again, according to chapter 1, verse 23. Now he says, because you have been redeemed, since your souls have been cleansed and purified, and especially because you are now born again, and you are children of God, you should put out of your hearts and your lives these things. He said, wherefore, laying aside these things. And to lay aside means to put away. There are old worldly ways and temptations that Christians have to work at to put them out of their life. In fact, Christians have to keep working on this. And the New Testament epistles that were written to Christians, sometimes to congregations, and a few times to individual Christians, all those epistles that are written to Christian people constantly tell us to keep these things out of our lives. And so you're going to read those kinds of exhortations in many of the epistles. Now, notice what Peter says that we are to put away or lay aside from us as Christians. He says to lay aside all malice. The word malice means evil. It means wickedness. It refers to any kind of meanness. And Peter is saying to get rid of any thought that is evil, any evil word, and any evil deed in your life. All kinds of it, all forms of evil are to be laid aside. These people had been evil in their life before they were converted. Now they've been purified. And Peter says to lay those things aside and don't go back to them. He says to lay aside all guile. The word guile means deceit. And people have a way of trying to deceive other people. The Bible says that when you're a Christian, that you should put aside any kind of deceit or guile. Don't try to deceive people. Don't try to fool people. Don't ever try to mislead people. And certainly don't try to fool people so that you can manipulate them into doing what you want them to do. The Bible says get rid of any and all kinds of deceit. Thirdly, he says to lay aside hypocrisies. It's interesting that he's already admonished these people to have unfeigned love. You'll remember that from chapter 1, verse 22, where he said, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. The word unfeigned means sincere or unhypocritical. Now, he follows that with what he says in chapter 2, verse 1, that we are to lay aside hypocrisies. The Bible teaches us as Christians that we're not to pretend. We're not to make people think that we're something that we're not. And the Bible teaches us that hypocrites are people who criticize other people, and yet they're guilty themselves. So he's telling those Christians and telling Christians today, don't criticize others when you're doing something just as bad or worse than the person that you're criticizing. Don't put on a show in religion. And don't ever act religious and use religion to cover a sinful life. He says also to lay aside or to put away envies. And notice that he says envies, plural, not just envy, because there are different kinds of envy. People are jealous of other people for all kinds of reasons. People sometimes envy others because those other people have more money than they do. They envy others because they get more attention. They envy other people because they have more talent. They envy other people because they might look better, or because they're smarter, or because they have power or authority. There are many forms of jealousy. There are many different reasons or excuses for it. And jealousy is one of the most destructive things in the human race. He says to lay aside any form of envy or jealousy, and he says to put away or to lay aside all evil speakings, gossip, backbiting, falsely accusing somebody, misrepresenting someone, judging someone's motives without proof. James said it plainly when he said, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren," James 4, verse 11, and he followed that by saying, "Grudge not one against another, brethren," in chapter 5, verse 9. Now think of how much different and how much better off the church would be if Christians obeyed just this one verse. If Christians would simply focus on obeying what we've just read here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. If every Christian would make an effort to set aside all kinds of malice or evil. If every child of God would put away all kinds of deceit and every form of deception. If every Christian would get rid of any kind of hypocrisy in their life. If every child of God would get rid of any kind of jealousy in their heart. And if every Christian would get rid of any form and all forms of evil speakings, the church would be a much better place. In fact, think of how much better the whole world would be if people would stop doing these things. And so that's why people need to be taught the Bible. The scriptures make human relations much more peaceful, and they make the world a better place, but especially they make the church a more productive organization in the sight of God. So Peter says to put these things away. You are new people now. You have been born again. You have been washed or cleansed. You have been redeemed. Now you're children of God. So don't do these things, even if you used to do them, and even though the world does these things. Now in verse 2, he says, we are to be like newborn babies. Notice verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. When he says to be as or to be like newborn babes, this does not mean that all these Christians that he's writing to were new converts. He's not saying that all these people were new Christians that he's writing to. We know that because some of these readers were elders. He says that in chapter 5, verse 1 of this same epistle. The elders which are among you, he says, I exhort. Now, we know that elders are not to be new converts. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6 says that an elder or a bishop is not to be a novice, that is, a newcomer to the faith. What he says here in chapter 2, verse 2, is that we're to be like newborn babies. And we're to be like newborn babies in a particular way. You see, he's not saying to these readers that they were babes in Christ when they should have been full-grown men in Christ. He's not getting on to them like Paul got on to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 and 2. Now, Paul said plainly that the Corinthians were acting like babies when they should have been full-grown and mature in Christ. And he's also not rebuking these readers like we find in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, the writer saying that those people were babes in Christ when they had had time to grow and that they should have been mature. So this is not a rebuke. This is not the same kind of context. This is not the same kind of particular application of this illustration that you find in 1 Corinthians 3 or in Hebrews chapter 5. This passage in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 is a different point. It's not a criticism, it is an illustration. And he's saying we're to be like newborn babes in this way. And that is, just as a newborn baby wants the mother's milk, we as Christians are to desire the milk of the Word. And he's talking about all Christians here. This is a general illustration, a point to be made and applied in the lives of every Christian. And when he talks about the milk of the Word, he's not making the contrast that you find in 1 Corinthians 3 or in Hebrews chapter 5. Because in 1 Corinthians 3 and Hebrews 5, the writers talk about the milk of the Word and the meat of the Word. But here, you don't find that distinction. The milk of the Word is all of the Word of God. He's not contrasting the milk and the meat here. This is the same figure, but it's a different point. It's a different application. And so his point is that just as newborn babies desire a mother's milk, we as Christians are to desire the sincere milk of the Word. The word sincere is a very interesting word. This word is just the opposite of the word for guile in verse 1. The word guile means deceit in verse 1. Well, this is just the opposite of that. And it means without deceit. It means guileless or pure. A mother's milk is just what a newborn baby needs and wants. It is pure milk. It is not watered down. It is not artificial. It is not some kind of substitute. Now, you can give a baby cow's milk or goat's milk or formula, but there's nothing like a mother's milk. And the Word of God is the same way. The Word of God is the food that is just what Christians need. It is pure. It is not watered down. It is not mixed. It is not some imitation. And it is exactly what we need. It is made just right for our souls, and it nourishes our hearts unlike anything else. Now, commentaries, sermons, and yes, even radio programs can give you some spiritual nourishment, but there is nothing like drinking the pure, unadulterated Word of God. And notice also that he shows that we have a choice in this, because he says desire. That's something that he's telling us to do. Now, a little baby naturally craves milk, and we should do the same. And notice again here what he's doing in the context. Remember back in chapter 1, verse 23, that he said that we are born again. Well, we're born again, and now in chapter 2, verse 2, he says we are newborn babes, in a sense, and we are to desire that milk. So we as Christians have to decide. We have to choose. We have to make up our minds that we want and desire the milk of the Word. And that's why he tells us that we should want it or desire it. So this is an appetite that you have to develop and you have to maintain it. Now, it comes easy at first. It comes naturally at first. When you're first baptized, many times people can't get enough of the Bible. But sadly, many Christians lose their appetite for the Word, and it no longer interests them. It no longer excites them, and how sad that is. Now, Peter tells us to be like the man in Psalm 1, verse 2, where the Bible says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. So desire this milk so that you can grow and keep growing. And it's interesting that Peter says in this first epistle to desire this milk so that you can grow. And the last thing that Peter said on this earth in his inspired writings was that he wanted his readers to grow. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the last verse that Peter wrote says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, that simply means if you have tasted or experienced that the Lord is gracious, when you're converted, you get a taste of how gracious God is, and that ought to keep you hungry for more. The Lord is truly a gracious God.